2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Gone.
All right. Welcome back to the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my co-host, Dylan White, the master of the Robo Scout, former NFBC main event champion, not playing any main event leagues this year, though.
No.
It's a surprise.
Got to go out on top.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm in an auction. I'm sharing a team with Jordan Rosenblum and Brian Slack. They met up in Vegas and did the auction there live, and I was kind of on the phone, but it wasn't really working, and so I just kind of watched who they picked. It should be fun, but a lot of good guys in that league. John Posma's in there, Rob Silver's in there, Eric Albright's in there, Mike Mager, I think, is in that. We had Max Scherzer, so he went down. We have Zach Neto stashed, who should be back, Royce Lewis stashed. No one cares, but that's what we have. Grom and Scooble are our big guys, and Freddie Freeman.
Royce Lewis is always stashed because he's never.
Exactly, yeah. Perennial stash.
He is a perennial stash. Let's jump into it. We got some baseball games this week. Obviously, things kicked off late last week, and it happened over the weekend. Some teams are about five games or so in, four for most of them. Still have some more games to be played tonight. We're recording this on Monday evening. Big reaction for me, and the first thing that I want to talk about a little bit is Christian Campbell is settling in very nicely in Boston. I believe that he has reached base 10 times in his first five games. He's been out there, consistently getting at bats. He is the guy. He is the guy at second base, it would seem. So we were kind of beating that drum a little bit end of last season, coming into the season certainly a little bit more. But it's refreshing to see him get the gig right out, right out of the chute, out of camp, and seem to settle in well, and seem like he's going to be a part of this offense. So just in terms of like maybe where you were at a week ago, your expectations with Campbell, have they gotten any rosier now that you sort of see that the Red Sox are going to be deploying him on a regular basis and, hitting in a pretty good lineup, and he looks like he can hit major league pitching, at least so far.
Yeah. I mean, there are also those reports that the Red Sox were seeking an extension with him. I know sometimes early extensions don't work out, like John Singleton or Scott Kingery, Evan White maybe. But, Jackson Chourio was signed. I guess my point is it kind of shows that the organization has confidence in him. So I liked that from a confirmation bias aspect. I liked that. I think I saw a stat that, like, aside from Willier Abreu and Christian Campbell, the rest of the Red Sox, we know Rafael Devers is not doing well, are hitting like their slash lines like 100, 150 / 200, something like that. Like, it's basically Campbell and Willier Abreu carrying the team right now. But all that being said, I updated my projections for the leagues I'm in. Christian Campbell is now the 15th second baseman rest of season, past Brandon Lau, Bryce Terang, Colt Keith, Brendan Donovan. He's still behind Glaber, but that's because the projections hadn't really updated that he was going to go in the IL. So he's probably the 14th best second baseman. So, the projection systems like what they saw, and he, just because he's going to get the playing time and he's probably going to move up slightly up in the lineup. He started batting sixth. He's now batting fifth. Just onward and upward for Christian Campbell. I'm glad I have him in a lot of places, and he's going to make a lot of people very happy.
Yeah. I think you can just see it too. Just the quality of the at bats, obviously lots of hard contact, I had a nice homer the other day. Just does a lot of little things well. I think he's going to be I think top five rounds next year in fantasy. I don't think that's crazy to put that label on him. I don't even think that's like, I mean, I don't think it's like second round ceiling right now. I mean, I guess if he hit 280 and went like 20-20, there's a chance he would rise that high, particularly in dynasty. But I think for redraft next year that, like, yeah, I think this guy's going to settle in like in a, as like a top 4 or 5 round pick. I don't think it's going to be crazy.
Yeah. I mean, if he has a Churio type season, like 2020 and reasonable batting average, which is not out of the realm of possibility, then, you know, he'd easily be like a Churio's basically second round, Jackson Merrill second round. It's like that type of thing. So Campbell.
Yeah, and he's a little older than those guys, but
sure. Sure. For sure. But my point is, if they're going in the second, then he's definitely going to be going in the fifth. So it's not, it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility that that's what would happen next year.
Yeah. Now let's move on to some bad news. We got another Gleyber Torres injury. Does it ever stop with this guy? I have him rostered in a couple of different spots, Dylan. But it really does feel like I'm just constantly chasing either a prolonged slump or an injury. Now it's an injury. It sounded initially like he might just miss a few games, and then it came out today, obviously on Monday, that he's going to spend some time in the IL. So what are your thoughts on Gleyber right now? You know, it's just like, I feel like I felt like there was some positive momentum heading into the season. Maybe he got like the pressure of the New York media market and that monkey off his back, but I don't know. So what are your thoughts on Gleyber as somebody who's rostered Gleyber for many, many teams over the years, I imagine, based on how you rank them?
I mean, I feel you. I feel your pain. It's always, and I'll always end up with Gleyber. I always end up with Yandy. I always end up with Byron Buxton. And it's for a reason, right? I guess they end up as values according to the spreadsheet and the projections because there's that injury risk, for example. I totally know what you're saying. Always seem to have him, always seem to be kind of fighting it. I guess the fact that he signed a 1-year deal, I mean, was it a pillow contract? Was it just to kind of prove his value again? Or was it that he just wasn't, there was no market for him? I don't know. Maybe we will never know, but yeah, I mean, it hurts that happened with Gleyber. Interestingly, they didn't call up like Jace Young. They called up Justin Henry Malloy. I think it was a bit of a surprise for me that Jace Young was sent down. I know his defense hasn't been good. I know he doesn't play second either, but I just thought that he would be like kind of the first one back up. But what'd you think of that, that they called up Justin Henry Malloy?
Yeah, that was a little bit of a shock. I kind of assumed it would be Young, but I would assume that at this point, he's going to be working on defense and they're going to try to figure that whole situation out with his glove, maybe without him accruing service time, keeping him as a, you know, more attractive trade option as well in the future. Cause this is a team I think that's going to be pretty competitive throughout the season. But it was a little bit of a shock when Gleyber went down that it wasn't Young, cause second base is his native position, and I kind of say that in quotation marks, but that's the position he played in college primarily and sort of where I saw him. It hasn't been a great 2025 for the Young family so far, as Josh was, of course, injured again. That he is the new Nick Senzel. He's taken that crown as the most injured positional prospect in history, or player.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have Josh Young anywhere. A lot of it is because, I mean, he's a bit older, like a lot older than I thought, like when we were doing the
because of all the injuries.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. He's like quote unquote late 20s. Like he's not like 23. He always seems to have nagging injuries. It always kind of being like hitting effectiveness related, like wrists and stuff. So I've kind of stayed away. I don't know. I'm kind of quote unquote glad that I have, but, just tough break for him again.
Yeah, it's another tough break with it. Just a career where it's kind of just been heavily derailed by injury. Speaking of another player who's been derailed by injury, we have a shoulder inflammation issue with Mr. Ronaldo Lopez of the Braves. He was placed on the IL. This is not a great sign. And, you know, he was a nice development last year for the Braves. He was a nice development, I think, for dynasty managers that rostered him, because he produced decent amount of innings, quality starts, got strikeouts, ratios were solid, obviously plays in a winning team, better opportunities to get those W's if you're in a standard 5x5. This one kind of hurts, because shoulders this early in the season, that is a very ominous sign for overall innings totals and production. And he's kind of the type of pitcher where he really needs to accumulate to be as valuable as I think he was being drafted and sort of valued this offseason. Not that it was crazy high. I thought it was reasonable, but just the return investment may not be there.
But it was a shoulder that he had last year, right? Like he was very effective. Then he went down with that, I believe it was a shoulder, and then missed a bit of the last bit of the season and came back. And his velo is back at the end of the season. So it kind of felt that, oh, okay, the worst is over and he's going to be okay. And in spring, I think his velocity is pretty good. So I had him in a couple spots. I was nervous. I have him on a dynasty team. I was nervous kind of in the off season, like, is this going to hold up? Because I could see, you know, some news early in spring training that, you know, he shut down with fatigue or something like that. And it didn't happen. And so, you know, got my hopes up like an idiot. And he got rocked in his first start, and then now announced 15-day IL. So, yeah, shoulder, always a bad sign for a pitcher, especially for a pitcher who's had history of shoulder issues and never really kind of seems like it, never really, like, healed it fully. So, yeah, it doesn't look great. I mean, it's been a bad week for the Braves all around on a number of fronts. Not even their production on the field, where I think they're like 1-for-25 with runners in scoring position, lost 4 in a row. Just has not started well. And I think I'm segueing into another bit of news.
And that would be the Jurickson Profar PED suspension that we'll get into right now. So, you know, kind of took responsibility, says that he didn't take it knowingly, like everybody who gets caught with PED says. Would certainly explain the bounce back breakout last season a little bit. I wonder how you feel right now if you are the Braves. It certainly makes sense why Verdugo was signed, and I wonder if maybe there was some news and they went through, you know, some sort of process, hearings, etc., prior to all that news coming out.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that Verdugo was signed, and sort of this morning or early afternoon, like, I have like notifications on from Underdog on Twitter, and it was like Stu Fairchild to be traded to the Braves, and I'm like, oh, interesting, okay. And then the Profar PED news popped, so kind of all made sense. Yeah, I don't know. It's I guess looking back, there's a lot of, like, not victory laps, but kind of like told you so's of how, you know, Profar had a pretty bad season 2 years ago, like negative war. And then all of a sudden he's like a 135 WRC plus, something like that last year, rejuvenated, never kind of seen this before. And he's not young. And then, but he trained with Driveline. And then now looking back, it's like, oh, is this what happened? So, I mean, you hate to speculate. And, you know, you don't want to unfairly say that, oh, that must have been why he was good, because maybe that's not true. But, you know, it doesn't look great. It's not a good look when, you know, you have your career year and then at the beginning of the next season, you get popped for PEDs. So, yeah, unfortunate for him, unfortunate for the Braves. And Acuna is not going to be back for a while either. I know they want him back as soon as possible, obviously, but I don't know how much they can accelerate him getting him back.
Yeah, they've had an extraordinarily bad run of luck sort of since they won the World Series, just in terms of injuries and, you know, the way things have sort of happened in playoff games, etc. Certainly the last 2 years, the lineup has just been injury riddled, and it's unfortunate because I think when this team is all assembled and together and healthy, it's obviously, you know, one of the best lineups in baseball. And I think one of the few teams that's probably built to go toe to toe with the Dodgers in a playoff series. So I think it's what everybody desires and wants to see in the NLCS is, you know, a fully healthy Braves lineup against a fully healthy Dodgers lineup and the slugfest that would come of that. All right, let's move on to the next one. This is some good news. We're bringing the sunshine back in, Dylan. Yuri Perez ready to face hitters. So maybe his return isn't too far away. You know, maybe it's more like weeks as opposed to months. That was exciting news when I first read that. Came out a couple days ago. So I don't know what your initial reactions are on Yuri, if you have him stashed anywhere. I have him in a couple of dynasty places. I still have him rostered, of course. He's a big piece when he comes back, that's for sure. Probably will be on a bit of an innings limit, but, you know, that's fine. If you get 80 quality innings out of Yuri and he's healthy going into next season, you're pretty happy as a dynasty manager, no?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it a couple of weeks ago where it's like, he's kind of what always happens is someone who's injured and kind of out of sight, out of mind. You just kind of forget how great they are. And he's so young as well that it's like, he's just going to come back and be slotted in at like, as like top 15 dynasty pitcher type of thing. If he has his velocity, he's kind of has the effectiveness that we saw flashes of when he debuted. So it's one of those where it's hard to see him stashed on your team. And you just can't wait to get him back. And then when he's back, you're just living the high life. So I hope he comes back. I think he's good for the game. I'm pretty sure that Alcantara is going to be traded at some point, guaranteed from the Marlins. So, you know, Yuri's going to kind of slot right into that presumptive ace spot. So good for him. I'm glad he's on the road to recovery.
We have some breaking news, Dylan, that just came out live onto the wire. Know if you're aware of this or not. Are you up to date on what's going down?
I see it now.
We have a 6-year, $170 million extension from the Boston Red Sox to left-handed pitcher Garrett Crochet. So they were able to extend him after acquiring him. 6 years, $170 million. Deal has an opt-out after 2030. So kind of an interesting bit of news there. I don't know if it changes anything other than just kind of stabilizes the Red Sox future, stabilizes Crochet's future in terms of projecting him out for Dynasty. So I don't know if they have any initial reactions there. I don't know if it's really all that Dynasty relevant, but it just came through. So I thought it was worth mentioning.
Yeah, no, 6-year, 170. So just under $30 million per season and a nice chunk of change. I think it's good. I wonder how that'll affect signing, because that's a pretty big extension. It's not one of those like Justin Martinez, 5 years, $18 million. It's a pretty chunky, pretty hefty chunk of change there. So I wonder if that'll affect Christian Campbell, Roman Anthony, or any of those kind of young guns they're thinking of potentially extending. But I think the Red Sox can afford it, but good for them. I like seeing extensions being signed when they're, you know, in the nine digits. It's always good for the game. I think it's not, no one's kind of getting ripped off. No one's getting their arb years and all that bought out in an exploitative way.
Dylan on his good for the game kick today. It's the second time you've said that in like 10 minutes.
That's right. It started with Yuri and now it's Crochet. So I think, I mean, good for pitchers too. If any pitcher that can sign an extension, multi-year extensions, especially someone that throws 98 miles an hour, I think, you know, always a smart move. So good for Garrett Crochet.
Absolutely. All right, Dylan, I got a question for you. Is it time to cash in your Drake Baldwin shares? Sean Murphy's on a rehab assignment starting tomorrow or today, if you're listening to it on Tuesday.
I don't think you expected Drake Baldwin to run with the job and escape with the job or be the primary catcher. I mean, maybe you thought he'd do it a little longer than, you know, a week later. You know, he's had a taste. I don't think he's to blame for the 0-4 star for the Braves. I think he's going to, you know, split playing time, maybe almost nearly 50-50, kind of like the Travis d'Arnaud, Sean Murphy splits. So I wouldn't cash in yet. But yeah, maybe you're kind of hoping for, you know, some huge breakout in the first four games and make it be a tough decision for the Braves. But no, I mean, I don't think you're disappointed, but I don't think you're over the moon at what he's done. And I think it's just par for the course. He's going to split time with Sean Murphy.
Yeah, I think that was always kind of the obvious outcome. I guess I expected Murphy to maybe come back a little bit later into April. I didn't expect it to be March 31st, and it's like, hey, Sean Murphy's playing tomorrow. Okay.
Yeah, no, so Rosenblum, Jordan Rosenblum said it during the auction, because he was saying, like, well, take Sean Murphy. I'm like, Sean Murphy, he's going to be out for weeks. He's like, no, I heard it's going to be like 6 days or something like that. They don't expect him to be out long. So it didn't surprise me that Sean Murphy's going to come back sooner rather than later.
Dylan was prepared. He was prepared. He was ready to go. All right, last note here. Colton Cowser, broken thumb. He's out 6 to 8 weeks, Dylan. If you roster Colton Cowser, this sucks.
Yeah, I mean, he was batting leadoff too. Obviously, the Orioles started the season off 4-game series against the Jays, so I watched all those games. Yeah, I mean, breaking your thumb on a slide to first base, like that's the Tuplan of Tuplans. Yeah, it's they call up Dylan Carlson. I mean, obviously, it'd be an outfielder, I guess. Heston Kjerstad's going to get more playing time, but you know, it wasn't Kobe Mayo that got brought up. Wasn't Basayo that got brought up. Obviously, those wouldn't be the guys that would be picked to replace an outfielder. But yeah, he was a 3.5 WAR guy last year. He was going to be a big part of their future, and just to, you know, break your thumb, which is not a good injury to have as a hitter. They tend to linger too, I find. It's just got to be a big blow.
Yeah, that is not a great one for Orioles fans or for his managers in fantasy, just generally. Because he is a guy that I think everyone was looking at as like, all right, we got enough out of him in year one. He's got opportunity. He's taken some steps forward, or at least it seemed that way in spring. Like you said, that leadoff gig, the opportunity to, you know, maybe score 90-plus runs, drive in some runs. He obviously has enough power, base running ability. Like, there was overall, like, real upside here with Cowser that this really kind of stinks. So, unfortunate news. But on that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to throw some crazy overreactions at Dylan and see how he reacts to it. We'll be right back. All right, and we are back. We're going to do a couple crazy overreactions before we wrap the show up today. So, Dylan, the first one that I'm going to throw at you, and I want you to tell me if it's a crazy overreaction or if you think it's a legitimate possibility. First one, kind of teeing off on something we talked about a little bit earlier. Christian Campbell doesn't just only win AL Rookie of the Year. He makes the All-Star team as a rookie. Crazy overreaction, or you think it's a possibility?
I think it's a possibility. I think it's a possibility. A lot of good second basemen, like Andrés Giménez, has started off pretty hot for the Jays, showing off power. He stole a base today too. You know, Westberg, does he count? Yeah, Semien. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I could see it. It's definitely within the realm of possibility. I think I would put the odds at like 10 to 25% chance that he gets voted to the All-Star team at second base. Will he make the roster? I think, you know, bring that up to 30%. I think it's very possible.
All right. Stirring answer. Really appreciate that. That was good stuff. Here's one you're going to like. Christopher Sanchez gets Cy Young votes in the NL. Crazy overreaction or a distinct possibility?
I mean, he was my pick for breakout in the NL, I think. And so I think it was a possibility already. He pitched today. I think he had 7 or 8 strikeouts, looking good. So I think it's a distinct possibility. The Phillies are a good team. So, you know, it's possibly he gets 15, 16, 17 wins. If it all kind of falls into place, you know, 19 wins. Obviously, that's a very low probability outcome. But, you know, he had 12 wins last year. So 15, 16 is pretty good. That'll get you Cy Young votes for sure, especially on a competitive team that's likely to make the playoffs. So I think Yeah, I put that at, say, top five Cy Young votes, top 10 Cy Young votes, I'd say 75% chance. Top five Cy Young votes, I would say, yeah, 50-50.
All right, that's a good answer. I like it. Here's the next crazy overreaction. Dylan Cruz is demoted to AAA at some point this season. Crazy overreaction or distinct possibility?
Somewhere in between. I think it's a possibility, of course. They started him off batting eighth, I think, on opening day. He struck out like almost as many times as Rafael Devers. So, you know, if he starts off slow, gets in his head, he's scrambling, he's pressing. I could see it happen. And does that mean Robert Hassel gets called up? Maybe. So I think it's a possibility. I think it would take a catastrophe for them to do it, because I think it would be such a blow to his confidence. So I think it's always a possibility, but I think it's low probability. So I'd say 15 to 20% chance that happens.
Okay. Yeah, I would say it's slim. I would put it at like a 5% chance. I think they're going to ride out the peaks and valleys here with Cruz for sure. I just thought it was a fun overreaction that would get some stirred up if we brought it up. I want someone yelling at the radio for once, you know. We usually don't wade in those waters, but today we are, you know. Here's the next one for you, Dylan. You're going to like this one. Kyle Manzardo finishes as a top five first baseman, even though he's not technically first base eligible. We're going to say he's a first baseman. Kyle Manzardo, top five first base value. Crazy overreaction or distinct possibility?
I think that one's a little less. Well, okay, let me think here. So top five, we'll even make a top five AL to make it easier. So let's see. There's Vlad, not Josh Naylor anymore. Vinny Pasquantino, Christian Walker, Goldschmidt, Cassis, Andrew Vaughn, I guess you throw in there. So not that many. Nolan Chanuel. So can he be top five AL? Yeah, it seems pretty plausible. I mean, he was showing good exit velocities and bat speed improvements in spring training. RoboScouts always liked him as a hit and hit with power guy. I have him on a couple places, but not as many, and that's only because he's UT only. And they signed Carlos Santana, so it didn't seem that he would get first base early in the season. It would be maybe a bit later. So just from roster construction point of view, I didn't have him in a lot of places. So I guess long story short, can he be a top five AL first baseman? I think, yeah, I think it's possible. I'd say 25%.
No, I'm saying
Tyler Soderstrom too. I forgot him too. He's got a hot start.
I'm so saying top five overall.
No.
You know, can he slide in there behind Vlad and Bryce Harper and Freddie Freeman and Matt Olson? You know, can he just nestle himself in there and say, sorry, move over Pete Alonso, you bum. Christian Walker, we don't need you. Josh Naylor, hey, you're not in the AL any longer. He's just pushing those guys aside, sliding right in. I think it could happen.
It could happen.
I love it.
I don't think it will. I don't think so. No. I think you should just settle with AL, top five AL, because I think that has a shot, you know, 33% chance. I think top five major leagues, I think, is a bit low. I think, you know, 5% maybe. Not even. I would say 4%. He has to hit his 90% percentile outcome, and all those guys like Bryce or Freddie Freeman, Matt Olson, these guys have to have terrible seasons. All of them that he has to leapfrog over. So I think it's difficult.
He's just going to slide in at number five behind the good guys. He's going to slide in at number five.
I mean, I really hope he does. I love Manzardo.
Are you ready for my craziest early season overreaction, Dylan?
I am. You warm me up.
Aaron Judge is going to hit 70 home runs in 2025. Overreaction? You think it's a big possibility?
I think I saw a stat that in his last 162 games, he has 63 home runs, something like that. So it's a possibility. I mean, imagine if he switches to those torpedo bats, Jeff.
He doesn't need them. Teacher Man has already let us all know that he does not need those.
But imagine he did. No, That's at least seven home runs added on.
I know his torpedo, like he didn't even swing one, and he, and the torpedo bats are getting credit for his homers in that game already too. Like nine homers. It was like, yeah, how many did Aaron Judge hit?
Exactly. I think it's a possibility. It'll be a great storyline for sure. I don't want to put a percentage on it because not many people in history have hit 70. So I would say 10% chance.
All right. Nothing super hot, but at least they were fun questions, right?
they were fun. But do you have, how about this one? How about Bo Bichette leads the AL in batting average? What do you think of that?
I think it's a possibility, you know. It just feels like it's not a possibility based on the last couple of years, but I think if you look at his history, he's healthy. His timing is good. He's seeing the ball well again. I think it's all a possibility for sure, you know. Yeah. If Bo is locked in, I think it is a possibility. I don't think that's a crazy one.
If at the All-Star break he's hitting 360, what do the Blue Jays do with Bo Bichette, who is a free agent at the end of the season?
I don't know. They get the extension done with Vladdy, or like, what do they do? I honestly think there's a chance they ride it out because he's going to get a big enough contract that they're going to get a draft pick. Hmm. So like you have to get a good enough prospect for that not to be the case to like trade that away. So I just think, you know, there's nothing wrong with letting him walk and getting the pick, right? That pool money is very valuable in baseball. And often, as we saw with the Red Sox in the case of Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell, Eduardo Rodriguez walked. They got the Roman Anthony for Rodriguez, you know. And then they let Xander Bogaerts walk. And they got the Christian Campbell pick for Xander Bogaerts. So kind of an interesting wrinkle if you think about it. Can be kind of valuable. You do things a certain manner of doing business, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I like that one. I think Bo Bichette potentially could be somebody that could lead the AL in batting average, and it could be a tricky conversation for the Blue Jays, depending upon where they're at in the AL East standings and the AL standings overall. You know, yeah. That could be an interesting question that comes up for them. But all right, that's all our crazy overreactions after just five days of baseball plus some weird games that were played 3 weeks ago. This has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is Dylan White. For both of us, thanks for tuning in. We appreciate the support. Now get out of here.
Cheers.